I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 36 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you're very well. Today's podcast is a few musings on the topic of feedback. Now, over the last 10, 15 years, probably more really, there's been a big push on feedback, giving feedback to people, and it comes in many forms. 360 feedback, psychometrics, which then give you feedback about yourself and your preferences, immediate feedback. People are encouraged to give feedback really, really frequently. And we're also getting feedback informally all the time. So whenever you take an action, you see a result, or you don't see a result, but that is feedback. You're getting feedback from just the way that people are around you, from the results that you're getting from your work, or the lack of results you're getting from your work. And this is something definitely that I think we should spend a bit of time thinking about, but it's not this informal feedback that we're going to think about today. And also it's not about giving feedback, because there's a huge amount of information out there already about giving feedback. Instead, we're going to focus on how to receive feedback, because in all of this focus on feedback, it's very much about being the giver of feedback. And actually, receiving feedback is what's really important. That's what's actually going to make a difference to your performance, to the way that you feel, the way that you think, the way you behave. So actually it's the receiving of feedback that really requires a bit of skill and a bit of awareness. And I think it's really important to think about how you receive feedback, because firstly, despite all the focus on how to give feedback, most people aren't very good at it. Feedback is not always given in a useful way. People share their opinion, but they present it often as if it's fact. And those opinions say far more about the other person's assumptions, the person giving the feedback, their assumptions, their expectations, than they necessarily say about you. So it's very difficult to take on board that feedback when you can see that it's kind of rich with the other person's beliefs and assumptions. Secondly, even when the feedback is really well delivered, it hurts. I mean, I really, really dislike getting feedback. And it often hurts because it hits a sensitive spot for you, or it leaves you feeling that you've underperformed, when maybe you thought you did a really good job. So even when it's well delivered, it can still be uncomfortable. Like I say, I ask for feedback and I encourage people to give me feedback, but I never ever find it easy to receive. That is, unless I do some of the things that I want to talk about today. It can be really valuable to see yourself from another person's perspective, particularly if perception is the name of the game. So for instance, if you're a teacher and people in your class tell you as feedback that they didn't learn anything, that's really important. You're only teaching effectively if someone's actually learning. And the same could be said about leadership. You're not really leading if you're not actually driving anything forward. If no one believes that you are the person who can drive something forward, you're not really in the lead. So it is actually important what people think. Now, I used to say, and I know people do say this, that you're not really leading if other people aren't following. But as you'll know, I've got some opinions about that. I think there are two different kinds of leadership. One is the leadership that creates followership, where people would basically follow you off the edge of a cliff if you ask them to. And there's the leadership that creates more leadership. So what you start to see when you become that kind of leader is other people stepping up to lead. But in both cases, the effectiveness of the leadership is how it is perceived by other people. Do other people follow? Yes or no? If they're not following, then you're not that kind of leader. And are other people stepping up to lead? If they're not, then you haven't been terribly successful at that kind of leadership either. So the perception of other people in these kinds of situations is important. In any case, most of us do jobs that benefit from having strong relationships, trust, relationships of trust in particular. So these relationships aren't just one-sided. It does actually matter how you're perceived. And you can feel like you're doing all the right things, but if it's not landing right, or if it's not having the impact you wanted and needed the thing, the behaviour to have in order to get something done that's important to you and that helps the business, then it is important to take the feedback on board. So I'm going to share with you a few options and a few steps that you can take to be a little more receptive, or to find the giving of feedback more useful, more valuable to you. Now, the first option is what I call the pretzel. And the pretzel is where you adapt to every little bit of feedback. You change yourself, you change your material, you change your decision to appeal to the greatest number of people, or in fact, to the people that make a lot of noise about their opinion. Now, as you can probably tell from my tone of voice, I'm not a big fan of the pretzel. This is how we tend to behave, or this is kind of the default position, is to try to take on board all the feedback. I don't think that that is very healthy for the reasons that I'll come to. What ends up happening is that you really lose your sense of yourself, your connectedness with your own decisions. It all becomes about, will other people like this? Will other people value this? Will other people see the point in this? Particularly those people who tend to be most robust in their feedback. So what you end up doing is making decisions that you think your manager is going to like, or whoever it is that wields the most influence in your organisation. So I would say that the pretzel is not the only option available to you. So let's have a look at some of the others. Option number two, this is a state of mind. To remember that feedback is just data. It's not judgment. Now, it may feel like judgment, and it may have been intended as judgment, but you don't have to receive it as judgment. How do you do that? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to step back. What tends to happen to me is, let's say I've received some feedback in a written form, an email, something like that. What happens almost immediately is that I have an emotional reaction. If I was to respond to the feedback in that moment, my response would be emotional. I would feel that I was being judged, and I would come back with something very judgmental about the feedback. So I don't do that. What I do is I take a step back, and then I read the feedback again from a less emotional place. I don't respond immediately because I know that that first response is going to be emotional. It's the amygdala reaction, the fight or flight reaction. It's not my evolved brain that is responding. I feel under threat, and therefore that amygdala kicks in and out comes the fight or flight response. And that is not what we want. We want a more evolved human response, and therefore I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back to it from a less emotional place and look at it again. And then I'm going to be able to respond. And what very often happens in that situation is that I feel that I can be quite generous about the feedback, but I may or may not take it on board. So I can say from a genuine place, thank you. I had an opportunity to think about that, had an opportunity to reflect on that, and here is my response. The response might be to do something different, it might not. If the feedback is coming in person, but you have some warning, so for instance, you know that you're going into a feedback session, or it's an appraisal, or it's a debrief, whatever it is, whatever situation, you know there is going to be feedback, chances are, then you can be prepared in the same way. So what I do in this situation, and what I encourage other people to do, is to take a notebook and write down everything that you're being told in the way of feedback. Explain that you'll take it away to consider it rather than responding straight away, and then that's exactly what you do in exactly the same way as when you receive written feedback. What I find happens in this situation is that I'm focused on taking notes and trying to capture the information as accurately as I can, and I'm not focused on having any sort of emotional response. I don't need to in that moment. I can have a look at it later. I kind of turn into the secretary or the admin. I switch off my emotional brain. And so I'm just taking notes. I can be quite curious. I can ask for clarification. And then I'm going to reflect on it later. Later, of course, I might have my emotional reaction and then give myself a chance to step back, have a look at it again, and then respond from this more evolved place. The third situation where you tend to get feedback is where it is a surprise. Someone spots you in the corridor and gives you some very unsolicited feedback, and you are not able to prepare your response. All I can say in that situation is, if you've been practicing the other two responses, so when you receive written feedback to take a step back, or when you receive verbal feedback but you've had warning, you switch off the emotional response initially and respond to it later in private. If you've been practicing those things, you will notice the emotion rising up, but you'll have enough space in your evolved brain to say, okay, great, I'm going to take that away and I'm going to come back to you. There will be no pressure in that moment to respond to it. However, this is something that comes with practice. But the more you practice, the more you'll have awareness, the more there'll be that beat between you receiving the feedback and you having the emotional response where you can say, okay, I'm listening, but I'm going to respond to this later when I've had a chance to reflect on it from a more evolved place. So that is, for me, how I switch into this data, not judgment frame of mind. So then what? When you've got a bit of distance, what are you actually doing? So you've bought yourself a bit of time. You said, I'm going to go away and think about this. What are you going to do with that bit of space, that bit of distance? Well, the first thing I think you do is you ask yourself, what do you think of the feedback? Do they have a point? This is a really hard question to ask. We often feel most annoyed about feedback that actually resonates. We knew that we weren't on top form, but the other person noticed something that we thought that we were covering up. And it takes great maturity to acknowledge that. I was once told after a speech that someone in the audience was hoping that I would go further than I did in my presentation. They thought that I had pulled my punches. Now, I should say, it wasn't that individual who came to talk to me. It was someone else who said, well, the only piece of feedback I heard was one person who was hoping you would go further and didn't think you went far enough. So initially I bristled, obviously. I felt that it was a little unfair that the only piece of feedback that had made its way to me through the person who'd organised the event was this one piece of critical feedback. It hadn't come from the person themselves. I was annoyed that they hadn't felt brave enough to come and talk to me about it in person. And I was also annoyed that this was the only piece of feedback that was making its way back to me, when actually I had lots and lots of conversations after the event with loads of people over snacks, over coffee and cake, and got into some really, really good conversations with people who were enthusiastic. But the only piece of official feedback, you see, I may not be completely over it now, the only piece of official feedback was this slightly negative feedback. So after initially bristling, I realised actually that I agreed. On the flight home, I thought about it again, and I thought, yes, I did play safe. The next time I gave the speech, I came right out with what I thought. It was not subtle at all. In that case, I have no idea, because this particular feedback didn't make its way to me, whether anyone thought that maybe I was too blunt, maybe I went too far as they were concerned. But I could have lived with that because I'd adapted the speech based on what I really thought. So as uncomfortable as it can be, when you step back and have a little bit of space, the thing to be asking yourself is, what do I think of that feedback? Could this be uncomfortable because it's telling me something that is true? Now, another response when you've got a little bit of headspace is to find out more. This is really hard. It means exposing yourself to stuff you don't want to hear. If necessary, what you need to do here, a bit like I mentioned with the notebook, you need to get into a curious mindset. So you need to get into a mindset as if you were just a curious bystander, and your job is to help the other person flesh out their opinion. Now, as a leader, one of your jobs is to help people flesh out their opinion. So why wouldn't you use that when the opinion happened to be about you? This takes practice, but it is a really useful approach. And I find that when I adopt this curious mindset, I'm able to switch off a lot of the emotion that can get in the way of me listening. I talk a lot about listening, as you know, and listening to stuff that's hard to hear. As a leader, you've got to be able to listen to stuff that's hard to hear because it implicates you or it's about you. Otherwise, you're only doing your listening when it's easy to listen. And people will notice that. They need to know that they can talk to you about the stuff that is hard for you to hear and you'll still be able to hear it, and that you'll actually go out and seek that information, that data. If you shut yourself off from some of that data because it's about you and it's going to be hard for you to hear it, then you shut yourself off from some of the picture, and then it's much more difficult for you to have a good sense of what's going on around you, to make decisions based on that, to know what to do next. Another response to feedback is to ignore it. It's absolutely fine to ignore some of the feedback. Not everyone is going to like what you do. Everyone is looking for something different from a leader. They're entitled to look for something different from a leader. In fact, if everyone likes what you're doing, you could ask yourself whether you're really doing anything of note. Because anything that is bold, anything that is ambitious, anything that is brave is going to be controversial. When I think about the feedback I get to my speeches, it's inevitable that some people aren't going to like it. Some people aren't going to get it. Some people are going to disagree, for sure. Some people are going to like the message, but they're not going to like me. This is inevitable. If I was to pretzel myself into such a shape where I didn't offend anyone, I would also end up saying absolutely nothing of note. I saw an interview a couple of days ago with Elon Musk, the SpaceX Tesla guy, and he was clearly upset. He was tearful about what some in the space industry, his heroes, thought of what he was trying to do. But despite the fact that it upset him very greatly, he was not going to stop. He recognized that he didn't need everyone to agree with everything that he did. He's been criticized before and it's turned out fine. And even if it hadn't turned out fine, he has a commitment, a vision to something, and being true to himself means seeing this through. It's really liberating, I think, to know that one of your options is to ignore the feedback. Now, don't use that as an excuse not to listen, but in the end, you have to stay true to your vision, to your values, to your authentic style. And in allowing others to have their opinion, which you may or may not take on board, you encourage creativity. There's a brilliant book that I read years and years ago called The Creative Priority. It's by a guy called Jerry Hirschberg. And Jerry Hirschberg was one of the founders of Nissan Design America, Nissan Design International it became. And they did all sorts of really innovative experiments there to see how they could generate the most creativity. And one of the things they said was that you're allowed to give unconstructive criticism. So what often happens in an organisation is we say you can criticise, but it needs to be constructive. You need to have a better idea than the one that you're criticising, which means that people tend not to criticise because they may know that something's not right, or they may have an opinion about something, but they don't have a better idea, so they don't give their feedback. But at Nissan, they decided, no, unconstructive criticism. And one of the stories that Jerry Hirschberg tells is of a car prototype being wheeled out into the parking lot, and anyone from design from Nissan Design International was invited out into the car park to give their feedback. And this one lady, I think that she was from the front desk, or she was the receptionist, something like that. Her feedback was that the car was fat. Now, this is definitely unconstructive feedback. I mean, it's really hard to define what you mean by fat, and it's really hard to know what to do about it. But funnily enough, people did kind of know what she meant. The car was, yeah, kind of fat. And she wouldn't have said that if she'd have thought that either she was going to end up upsetting someone. She wouldn't have said it if she'd have thought that she had to have a better idea. She didn't have a better idea. She worked on reception. Designing cars was not in her skill set. And she wouldn't have given the feedback, I don't think, if she'd have thought that it was inevitable that the designers would take it on board. It's too much pressure to think, if I give criticism, I'm going to derail the whole design process. So I think she felt really confident to say what she thought, knowing that the designers may or may not take the feedback on board. If people know that one of the options for you when they give you feedback is that you might decide to ignore it, I actually think that they'll be more confident in giving you feedback. They don't necessarily want to think that just because they've given you feedback, everything stops, everything changes. They want to know that they can give that feedback and you will do something with it, even if that something is hearing it, responding to it with a thank you, but not actually doing anything to change. And the final thing to do about feedback is that it is okay to ask for no feedback. You don't always need to get opinions from other people. This desire for consensus and this desire to make sure that everybody is happy really slows organizations down. It can overwhelm you. I've seen teams, leadership teams, who want to understand what's going on for their people, ask for a lot of feedback, and then they get a huge amount of really diverse feedback back, and they have no idea what to do about it because there's so much of it and it covers so many different aspects of their own leadership and what's going on in the organization. And sometimes other people's opinions can be irrelevant. I said there are a variety of situations where other people's perceptions of you do matter, but there are also situations where other people's perceptions of you and what you're doing don't matter. And it can be okay in those situations to say, I'm not looking for any feedback at this time. So there we go. It's just a bit of information, a few insights, a few provocations about feedback and how to receive it. I hope that you found that useful today. I hope that you will be in a situation this week of receiving feedback and being able maybe to respond to it in a variety of different ways because of what I've shared with you today. If you have any alternative ways of receiving feedback that you think are really valuable and that you'd like to share, please get in touch with me. I'll hand over to Ivy in a moment to explain how. I love hearing from people. It's really important to me that I get feedback about this podcast. Whatever you're getting from it, whatever you would like me to change, I'm really open to that, really open to ideas you have for things you'd like me to speak about in these programs. So just get in touch, please. Please also remember to share the podcast and to put comments and reviews on iTunes or whatever app you're using to listen to this. It pushes this podcast up the chart, in a sense, and it means that more people can find out about it. So I really, really appreciate when people do that. So that's it for me for this week. I'll be back next week, but as I said, with more information about our new newsletter and how to stay in touch with me. Here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
To sign up for our newsletter filled with free resources and a prompt question or idea to help you see yourself and your work in a new light, go to www.thatpeoplething.com and scroll to the bottom of any page. Leadership is changing. By sharing this podcast, you can help transform the way companies run and help business become a force for good in the world. Let's encourage more leaders to reveal the punk underneath their suit. Just hands, hug!